Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, everyone out there. Welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, co-founder and CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us, we are your favorite people dashboard that's helping all you HR and people leaders out there turn all of your data into information, your information into insights, and those insights into actions. How do we do that? You know how. We have pre-built integration connectors to the best in breed HR systems for small and medium companies. So Bamboo, Greenhouse, Namely, Sapling, ADP, Trinet, all these systems to be able to bring all your people data into one real-time people dashboard to help you fix problems and really identify small issues before they become problems. Go to employeecycle.com, check it out, sign up for a free trial. Can't wait to talk to you about your experience. But that's enough about me and our company, because today I would like to introduce our special guest. Her name is Valerie Vega. She's a regional HR director at StockX, a very cool company. And today we're going to discuss how to provide all employees a fair opportunity to progress in their career. Valerie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Bruce. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you being on. So, Valerie, we're going to kick this off with the best way we know how, which is asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, so it's an interesting story because I actually never thought I'd be in HR. My dream, my passion was to be a psychologist, which to some degree, working in HR, you kind of are some sort of psychologist. But my dream was to go far-fetched, get my doctoral degree in psychology. But in the midst of completing my undergraduate degree, I was just looking to get out of retail, looking to get out of working weekends. And I stumbled upon an HR internship. And at that point in my life, all I knew was HR hires people and fires people. And that's the idea I had in my mind. But I was like, hey, let me give this a shot. And probably 2 days into the job, I fell in love. I was doing a little bit of everything because I was working right under HR generalist. So I was exposed to recruiting. I was exposed to benefits. I was exposed to employee relations. Every part of HR, I was touching it within 24 hours of my internship. So from there, it was history. I continued to pursue growing in HR. I was hired on from the HR intern to an HR assistant and then progressed in my career. Had the opportunity to kind of touch every area, labor relations, employee relations, training and development. I feel like I've done it all at this point. And so here I am. I can honestly say that I put my foot down and said I didn't want to pigeonhole myself because I really enjoy every piece of being an HR professional. I never wanted to just be a benefits specialist or an employee relations specialist. I loved overseeing all of it. So here I am now, and I'm still doing that. I'm still touching every part of HR, and I love it. I love every second of it. So that's how I ended up in HR. Just stumbled upon it.
Very cool. And I know that the industry is much better having you in it. And so you work at a very cool company. And so if you could just give us a quick summary of what StockX does, that would be great.
Yeah. So StockX is a e-commerce company that essentially it's a platform in which people get to buy and sell products from sneakers to streetwear to luxury handbags and watches. And recently we started selling trading cards on the site. And so StockX is essentially almost like a third party because we don't house any of these goods right now. We're not the ones selling it to people. it's actually people selling it to other people. And it's anonymous. You know, you don't know who you're buying it from. But what you do know is that you're getting a brand new item for pristine quality, in a sense. And we authenticate it and make sure that what you are paying for is what you get for. So that's the company in a nutshell. It's an e-commerce company. Pretty cool. Been around for 4 years at this point. And it's just been growing tremendously since I've started.
Thank you for that. So to bring this back to the topic, how to provide all employees a fair opportunity to progress in their career. It's a lot there. And before we started this interview, you told me that this is something that you're really passionate about. So when you talk about providing employees with a fair opportunity, let's talk about what a fair opportunity looks like before we even get into helping people progress in their career.
Yeah. So to me, I think a fair opportunity, and I hope this isn't a subjective response, but I do think a fair opportunity is someone or people having the ability to put forth their best effort, put forth their best, whether it's resume, taking the time to interview, and they're given a fair shot to move on to another opportunity. It's looked at objectively. We're looking at it holistically and saying, what is this person bringing to the table and how do they provide value to this particular role or opportunity? And so the way I just envision it is just everyone having the opportunity to move forward without being held back so long as they are, for example, in good standing. That's the way I envision it. I know people may have different schools of thought or different practices, but those are my thoughts.
So you said that everyone, assuming that they're in good standing, should have that fair opportunity to progress along, take advantage of new roles, and be a part of new projects. But what are some of the reasons why people don't get to have a fair shot or fair opportunity to do these things?
So I think, just based on my experience, I think that sometimes people don't have the fair opportunity because they aren't granted the ability to prepare for it. And again, this is just solely on my experience. I've coached plenty of employees and people to prepare to the best of their ability for an opportunity. And it's up to them to drive that to, whether it's practicing for an interview, whether it is updating their resume. There's only so much as an HR professional I can do on my end, but it's what they bring to the table and how they prepare in order to bring their best selves. But I know for sure, just a lot of interviews I've conducted, conversations I've had with people where I give them all the tools they need and then I sit in on an interview or I overhear some of the conversation that takes place and they weren't prepared, or, you know, some of the things I thought I equipped them with, maybe they didn't grasp it because they were really, really, they didn't take the time to invest in themselves and put forth the best effort. So those are my thoughts. I think, and I tell this to my team all the time, I strongly believe 80% of the opportunities that you come across only become an opportunity depending on how prepared you are. And you always should be prepared. But I think that's the reason why the playing field isn't always fair. That's why sometimes employees don't always get the best opportunities because they're not necessarily prepared for when it arises.
That's a really interesting take on this, because a lot of people would say that a lot of employees, especially from underrepresented backgrounds, don't get a fair shot or a fair opportunity because of bias or discrimination or some sort of barrier or challenge that's put in front of them. They are not put in front of the majority. So how do you reconcile with both of those things being true if you believe that both of those things happen at the same time?
So I've seen that happen as well when I was working in the more corporate side of America, because prior to this, I was working at a Fortune 500 company, and I was there for about 5 years, and I've seen it happen Unfortunately, I think the root cause, and this is not always the case, but I have seen where the root cause of why sometimes the, you know, the classes that are underrepresented or certain groups are not always given the fair shot, I've seen them not be prepared. And I experienced that myself. So before I, you know, people might look at my LinkedIn or may look at my resume and say, wow, you progressed very quickly in your career. I'm assuming you're young. I'm assuming, you know, you got promoted every couple years. But in the midst of that, there was a lot of failures. There were a lot of roles that I went for and opportunities that I went for, and I did not get the role. But I had great mentors that explained to me where my shortcomings were. And they never, because even I questioned myself, hey, you know, is it because, you know, I'm Hispanic and I'm a female and there's all of these different nuances that I could easily harp on and make that the reason why maybe I didn't get the opportunity. And my mentors, you know, they were very, very honest with me and said, okay, that may be a part in it, but looking at it from the outside, looking in, you have the capabilities. Let's just fine tune some of the skills that you have and help prepare you so that when the next opportunity comes up, you're not getting passed off on. And so that is why I agree with, yes, that may be the case. But I think a big part of what drives how far you get and how far you go is how you prepare and the mindset you have. So that's a lot of the conversations I have with team members day in and day out about stuff like this. It's, you know, I don't want you to pigeonhole yourself. I don't want you to see yourself as just, for example, a minority, because you can be prepared. You can put forth the best effort and give yourself the best shot. Because if you already start with the mentality that you have, you know, there's other people that might have the upper hand because of their background or because of their ethnicity, then you're going in with that mentality and there's no going back from that. It may reflect in one way or another without you even realizing it. So I think that's my school of thought because of the mentors I've had throughout my career, and they've always pushed me to be prepared, put my best foot forward, no matter what, and don't let all of the different things such as me being a female and me being Hispanic and me looking a certain way and me having a specific name that, you know, sticks out on the resume and people can just automatically tell, okay, this might be a Spanish person. And so I've had to push through those barriers myself. And that's why I kind of, for lack of better terms, preach what I preach because of my personal experiences.
This is really interesting. And I'm loving this conversation and your perspective. From a personal note, as a Black tech founder, I tell my friends who are other Black tech founders, but other non-Black tech founders who are traditionally white, that I never really have the privilege or the luxury to go into any investment meeting and know whether or not a decision of them not investing was 100% based off of me not being prepared or because of who I am and the way I look, which is interesting, because you have to go in with the mindset of bringing your A game or your A++ game every time and just hoping for the best and hoping that the person you're talking to won't have that bias. But we all know that it's not a meritocracy, and we all know that, unfortunately, the system and the workforce unnecessarily puts that burden on people like yourself and me. And so when it comes to being prepared, whose responsibility is it, and what does that look like? Is it the company making sure that they're providing more resources to people who represent underrepresented groups? Or is it more of the responsibility, which in some cases I'm thinking, well, this is unfortunate, but for people from underrepresented groups to become overprepared and not necessarily go out of your way, but try to always be prepared more so than your non-represented counterparts? Who does what, when, and how? What does this look like?
That's tricky. And the reason why I say that that's tricky is because I do think a part of the preparation is bestowed upon the individual. And then I think the other part of it is on the company itself and them kind of breaking through those barriers, understanding that, you know, we're not just going to check off a box and say we're a diverse company and hire X amount of people from this race or ethnicity just to check off boxes. They have to have a deeper understanding of it. So I think they have to have some type of ownership. And I just can't help but like reflect on my experiences where I have sat in a boardroom with the vice presidents, senior vice presidents, CEO of an organization, a Fortune 500 company, and I am the only person of color, and I am the second female in the room. And it wasn't until maybe a couple days went by after, and they're asking me for my opinion. They are, you know, looking to me to provide them with HR solutions and HR recommendations. And here I am. Not only did I list those things, but I'm also the youngest by at least 15 years in the room. So I think that they were open enough and they didn't shun me. They didn't look at me as someone who didn't have experience. They didn't look at me as a person of color. And I think, you know, just knowing the diversity in experience that the folks had in the room, although you walked in the room and saw, okay, there's one female of color and everyone else is Caucasian and there's another female in the room. I know these individuals and they were people who had various backgrounds, who had a very deep understanding of the value that diversity brings. So they welcomed me and they sought my guidance. They followed up with me. We have had great relationships in which they never made me feel less than. So I think with all of that being said, I think there is a part in which, yes, the company needs to acknowledge it because it could have been a very different situation. They could have ignored me. I was the only HR person in the room and they could have ignored me, but they turned to me often to make sure that I was in line with some of the business decisions that they were making from an HR perspective. And so knowing that they had that education, that they were knowledgeable in this, they were open-minded, they were embracing the diversity and the knowledge I was bringing to the table, that was key. That was essential. And I think that was pivotal for me because, you know, it just made me feel like I have a seat at the table, no matter what I look like, no matter what my background is, I'm being acknowledged. Is that always going to be the case? No, I'm not naive to think that, but I think that some of these experiences I've had, I think part of it, maybe not all of it, but part of it was brought into fruition because I had great mentors that told me, do not bucket yourself. Because if you see yourself in this category, whether you believe it or not, whether you think this is the case or not, it's going to seep into other areas of your life and people will see you that way. So I've just had such great mentors that helped me break out of that mentality and go above and beyond and not see myself as just that, you know? Am I proud? Absolutely. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of my accomplishments. I'm proud of my ethnicity and who I am as a person. But is that all that I am? No, you know, like I've accomplished a lot in my career and I'm proud of it. And so when people do see my resume, when people do, you know, reach out to me and they talk to me over the phone, sometimes they're shocked. I've seen it on people's faces. They're shocked when they see me walk into a room. But I can proudly say that, you know, I've had fair shots because I've also put forth my best effort and the opportunities that were for me worked out. And the ones that didn't work out, they weren't for me. So, you know, I know that may be a strange school of thought, but I've just always had that mentality. And that's something I share all the time with my employees, everyone I come across, because that's some of the knowledge that's been shared with me from some of my mentors that have also moved along in their HR careers. they've been in it for 15, 20, 25 years, and also are people of color.
Valerie, I want to thank you so much for being so candid, authentic, and transparent throughout this interview. And I know you said that your school of thought, you may think is strange, but even if I thought it was strange, which I don't, but even if I thought it did or was, all the schools of thoughts are welcome here. We are an inclusive podcast. So thank you for that. Really appreciate it. So to sum this up, it sounds like on the employee side, be prepared, put your best foot forward, make sure that regardless of what group you represent, whether it's majority or underrepresented, that you are coming to the table as prepared as possible to take advantage of any opportunity that you want to pursue. And from the company side, it's really removing the bias, removing the discrimination, removing unnecessary hurdles and barriers to jump over and break through when you might have qualified people right in front of you, regardless of what they look like. Did I get that right?
You sure did.
Valerie, thanks so much.
Woo! Valerie!
Thank you, Bruce. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. So where can people find you and StockX online?
Yeah, so I am on LinkedIn. That is like my go-to. I check LinkedIn first thing in the morning right after my emails. But LinkedIn's a great spot for me. And then I know StockX has a lot of stuff on Instagram, which they've like tagged me on and stuff. But LinkedIn would be the best under Valerie Vega.
Awesome. And we'll definitely throw that in the show notes. So if you enjoyed this podcast as much as Valerie and I had making it, then please, 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 please leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes because it shows that you care and that you like what we're putting out in the world. Also, if this is the very first Employee Cycle podcast you've ever listened to and you came here because you're already a super fan of Valerie or you think StockX is a cool company, or you just thought this topic was pretty cool and you wanted to check it out, but now you're hungry for more. Well, please, right now, pull out your phone and pull up Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast. And last but not least, all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.